The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Well, hello and welcome everyone to the season preview of the EvoStick NPL show. That's right, we're back. Did anyone want us back? Don't know, but we're back.
EvoStick did.
EvoStick did
want
us back.
They
did.
And the magnet certainly wanted us back.
So, round the table, we've managed to clobber together literally tens of people. Is it 10 or is it 9?
Nine,
isn't it? Ten, including me. Tens of people. Round the table, to my left, we've got Aaron Flanagan from The Mirror.
Hello.
To his left, we've got Swampe from Radio 5 Live and FC United Radio.
Good afternoon, evening or morning, wherever you are.
From... What can we say? Roy Sewell.
Freelancer.
Freelancer with many years of experience.
It's Exeter United of Manchester.
That's the way to do it.
New Mills, several clubs in Wales, some place in the US of A. In fact, just you could, 5 minutes, just hand over to him.
good evening.
It's good to have you back, Roy.
Thank you, Ben.
We've got, from the league, be upstanding, Alan Alcock's here.
Evening.
With news from down south, what's happened? You went to some do?
Yeah, groundsman of the year.
That's right.
Well, the Premier League groundsman
sorry,
of the year.
When you told me that last night, I had pie of the year in my head. So it's not as interesting, groundsman. Yeah. But we'll have a chat.
You
would have
paid for it. It was a pie of the year.
Do you want me to tell you now, or do you want to go around the table?
It's a democracy here. What do you reckon?
I like it now.
Yeah.
Pie? Well, I like a pie now as well. To be honest,
don't get distracted. Alan, who won groundsman of the year?
Right, groundsman of the year, FA groundsman of the year, Northern Premier League. Commended Colin Spencer of Newcastle Town.
Oh, well done, well done.
Peter Robinson of Witton Albion. And in traditional 3-2-1, third place, Chris Nurse of Loughborough Dynamo. I believe he was in the awards last year, Chris. Second, Mick Grimmer, Stocksbridge Park Steel. And I think we should have a round of applause for the winner for 2014-15 season. Is Peter Temmen of Nantwich Town.
Wonderful.
There you go. It's a pity their football couldn't have actually been as conducive as their pitches, isn't it? Let's be honest.
This is a beautiful start to the show and to the year ahead. From Radio 26-0 and from BBC Radio Manchester, it's Ian Burke. Hello.
Hello, Ben.
From the NPL Facebook group, also sponsored by EvoStick, one of the very high-pitched moderators on that website, it's Alan McKenna from Buxton. Hello,
Alex.
Alex McKenna from Buxton.
Get my name right.
Al McKenna from Buxton. Also from the NPL Facebook group, we've got returning James Hayes.
Good evening.
From Salford City FC, we've got Laura Flint.
Good evening.
And from the non-league review, sitting down the far end doing his gambling, it would appear. What are you doing there? It's Stuart James.
Good evening.
So, brand new season, everyone. Just some ground rules before we start. One dark horse each. Not getting carried away this year. Ian Burke, new to the league with Hyde United.
Quite right, yeah.
Supporter on club now.
Yes.
What do you reckon for the season?
For Hyde, it's a little bit up in the air. I mean, the manager, Gary Lowe, is talking a good game. He's absolutely convinced that Hyde are going to win this division. I'm not so sure myself. I do think Salford are going to win it. But Hyde, as for the Tigers, they've got a decent squad. We were going through the team that played the opening game last season against Oxford City and the team that played against FC United a couple of weeks ago in a friendly. And me and a few of the fans were going through it, and we would have picked 8 players from the team that played FC United over the team last year. So, generally, I think we have got a bit of a stronger squad. So, but it's Hyde, and you're either going to get promoted or get relegated. So, I'm going to say we're going to get promoted.
Salford City, what do you reckon, Laura?
Excited, it's the highest we've ever been. Obviously, fantastic season last season, but pressure's going to be on us. Someone else has just said, you know, think Salford might win it.
Someone's got a name, you know.
I'm just trying to be inclusive. I don't know who else might say they think we're going to win it. I would not be that confident or that complacent at all. I think it's going to be a massive challenge for us. Lots of new teams, new grounds we've never been to before. If we can make a good stab of it and be up there or thereabouts, I'd be quite happy with that this year.
And another team who are not new to the league but are my personal favourites for promotion this year, Alex McKenna, Buxton.
After another holiday.
You need to change your holiday destination, in all fairness.
You're cursed, mate, you're cursed.
I'm going to be boring here. The expectation is always for Buxton to be top 10 pushing for playoffs, as Aaron said before the show. I was speaking to him before, he said that. I think we got the most troubling thing about Buxton is our defence at the moment. We've not really got a set defence. Pre-season it's always been changing, it's always chopping and changing. I think we've only got two or three signed on the defence. So that's, for me, that's an area of weakness for Buxton in particular. Defense.
So am I back in the wrong car, sir?
Yes, I think you are.
For goodness sake. And just to get Colwyn Bay out of the way, what do you reckon this year for Colwyn Bay?
I think they're going to be mid-table. They went down with, put a little bit of a fire up, but I don't think they're particularly strengthened over the summer. They got unlucky with Tom Bentham, Big Benno, who they signed from Staley Bridge in the close season. He ended up going to Australia, and he would have been the main focus from going forward. So that was a bit of a blow for him. And I don't know. I don't think they're going to be troubling the relegation zone or anything like that, but equally, I can't see him getting
I'm getting Workington in my mind, because that was kind of what people were saying about Workington last season, and they adapted quite well.
They did, but they're a different kind of team from Workington. I mean, Wookie, they've always been a physical side, whereas Colwyn Bay, they do try and play it a little bit, and they have got some good young players there, but I just can't see them doing anything in particular.
What I would say about Colwyn Bay is that they've, it's a new manager in this year. It's an ex-player. It's his first managing job. His assistant is Rob Ottley, who's been at the club for numerous years, but as a player. You know, it's a very inexperienced management team. They've got a lot of business done early. Look like they've strengthened reasonably well. So, you know, I think they'll be expecting to be up there. It's just whether with an inexperienced management team they will be. They will be right at the top.
That's all the new signs that we're able to talk about around the table at this moment in time. I'm now going to open it up. I'm going to come to you now, Swampy. And it's now open up for who do you think is going to be challenging up at the top this season? That's the topic of conversation for this first part of the show, proper.
I think first and foremost, what we have to recognise that this season, the Northern Premier, like in all seasons, is a tough, tough division to be in. Hyde have dropped down. The likes of Salford have come up, and you know, also the likes of Darlington are up there as well. Workington last season, I think, were pretty. Felt aggrieved that they didn't get promoted. I think this season it's a must have for them, really, because A, where they're geographically actually situated, but I think really they're going to be the team they're going to be looking at. Darlington equally, Salford City we know are going to be really, really, really strong all season. They have not endless funds, which we know they don't have endless funds, although there's billions of pounds within the group that, you know, run the football club, and they've been very, very open in what they're ambitions are. I expect them to do very well this season. But again, for me, I'll be looking at Ilkeston and Rushall Olympic. Richard Sneakers at Rushall has had two good seasons, his third season in there now, and I think he's got a really good opportunity. The fact that Ilkeston have slightly changed their attack, Lee Hughes is in there now, as you know, as a centre forward, ex-league experience.
How long will that last though?
It's going to be interesting what they do this season. They've got Gordon Strachan's son as the manager.
Gavin.
They're going to be able to, I think, attract players. I think they're going to be the team to really look at. But for me, Rushall, together with the other five that I've mentioned, so I'm hedging my bets there. But if I had to put anyone down, I'm going to go for Workington.
Oh, gasps. Panto season's come early, everyone. Yeah, okay. So we've got some gasps there for Workington. Anyone else agree with Workington? Because Workington came very close last season.
I strongly disagree. But they've had a huge turnover in the summer, to be honest. A lot of Skelton, along with a lot of players, have gone to Queen of the South up in Scotland. So I think this year is a huge turnaround for him. I know last year I'm saying they're going to be mid-table, and they proved me wrong.
Well, yeah. In fairness, I've missed one team out there, really, that we shouldn't ever forget about, and that's Blyth. And
I mean, exactly.
Blyth losing a few players, but they've gone back. Maguire signed for Halifax, straight back there. Again, Blyth have got a great tradition, they were great last season. These are always teams and very hard to go away and win against. Exactly. So again, it's going to be very different.
Especially with Blyth, they've got a lot of money in the tank from the FA Cup run last season. It's so invaluable having that kind of the year after. And I expect Blyth to push on. I fully expect them to be top three.
There was, from memory, last year's preview show, we kind of stuck to the teams who were in and around the playoffs the previous season. Aston United came very close. I mean, you commentated on that match, Berkey. Came very close. What did you?
They've strengthened massively over the summer. They really have. They lost Jack Higgins to Stanley Bridge, and everyone thought, oh, well, that's the end of it for them. They're going to finish top 10 if they're lucky. But they've brought in really, really good players. I mean, Will Haining didn't do it at Hyde, but for that level, Evo Stick Premier, he's going to be a cracking defender for him, I think. And they've also got Kyle Jacobs, formerly of Stockport County, who is far too good for that league. He's going to be there at right back. And Aston United, you know, I think they're going to be serious challengers.
Well, I remember I said last season that I thought Aston, you know, had obviously an amazing season, they were going to drop away. As with Steve Halford and Paul Phillips, who are obviously joint managers there, they're always up near the top of the table. When they were with Mosley, they took Mosley on a shoestring budget into the playoffs of that league. They've gone to Aston on a relatively low budget, taken up into the playoffs 2 years in a row. You know, you can't really back against that record, and, you know, I think they'll probably will be aiming to challenge again, and, you know, you'd expect them to be up there.
And there's one team for the last two seasons, and they're bringing Roy in after this, that have been top of the league for three quarters of a season.
Oh, don't, that was my segue. I had that lined up. I thought to myself, as soon as everyone's finished talking, I'm going to throw in Skelmersdale.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, this season, you know, can they go a step further? Can they continue to do what they did, or is it going to peter out again?
Let me ask you this question this way. This weekend, in the opening game of the season, Ilkeston are playing Skelmersdale United. In what I would... Thanks, that's the reaction I was after, Berke. In what I would describe as the game of the weekend, Roy. I mean, well, what do you think of...
They've got a clock tower, haven't they? Any club has got a clock tower.
What do you reckon?
You're throwing the voice, then.
I know. Go on, Roy.
My feelings are that I think it's going to be really tight, down to maybe the 10th position team. I think there's a lot of teams in there that can actually beat one another and consistently, and that's the word really, consistently hold their own. I think the one for me that could possibly cause a bit of an upset would be Skem, and I say a bit of an upset because they do start off really well and then they seem to fade. If they hit a consistency spell, then I think they could maintain that, you know, that position up there.
Well, if they do come out of the blocks again and are top at November Christmas time, will you ever see anything like it if they drop away again the third year running?
Well, it wouldn't surprise you, would it? Because they've done it a few times, and they've done it when they were in the first in the Northern Division as well. But what I would say is, you're asking, I think I've basically put six teams down here.
You put 13.
I put six teams down here, and I've got two dark horses. And for me,
dark horses are later, mate.
Yeah. To me, I've tried to put them in what I consider an order, and I'd say Workington, Aston United, Ilkeston, Hyde, Salford, Blythe. And the two that could upset that at any time is Skem and Darlow.
I was going to come to you, Laura, about Darlow.
It's very tight right away, you know, say down to the halfway positions of the teams.
What do you reckon for Darlow's chances this season?
I was actually just going to say, I'm surprised nobody's mentioned them yet, so I'm glad you just did. I think what, obviously, the teams in this league, it's new to them playing Darlow. They are big, strong, organised, difficult to beat. You know, we beat them twice, which was great. I just thought I'd get that in there. Sorry, please don't lynch me. But I think, depending on the kind of teams they're playing against, our style of football worked against them because we were playing fast-passing football. Not everybody plays that way. If you don't play that way and you don't go at them, I think a lot of teams are going to find them very, very difficult to beat. It's a difficult place to go. They've got a massive following. You know, strong, loud atmosphere. I think they will be right up there. I really do.
One such team who's going to be in the headlights this weekend is Buxton, who are hosting Downs. And you'll forward to that?
Oh yeah, of course, because it's first game, big crowd. So naturally, it's going to be an important game for both teams to get off to a good start, because Buxton's got quite a difficult month.
We've not really mentioned anyone from Division 1 South who've come up. So, and Caulfield Town come from that West Midlands area of Hales Owen and Stourbridge and and your favourites, Rush Olympic.
They come from Sutton Coldfield, they come from that area.
Unless you take directions off Stuart and then you can end up anywhere.
Kind of that neck of the woods.
I think, and no disrespect to the Southern Division because it's a very good division, that some teams have come into the Premier Division and have struggled, but some teams have done particularly well. And I think they'll be looking for a season. They had a great season last year. There was, you know, and they're in the Premier Division, deservedly so. They're mid-table, I would have thought. They're not going to struggle, I don't think. They're not going to be around the bottom. I think when we get onto the runners and riders for those teams that are around the bottom, they're going to be the similar names that we pretty get accustomed to now in the Northern Premier Division.
I think they're going to take after Belper, who got promoted the year before, and I think they're going to go straight back down.
I think they might be a bit more, harder to beat than perhaps Belper were.
I think, personally, that I don't believe they'll be out of the relegation spots. That's my opinion. The team that actually won it, Mickleover.
I was going to mention that.
We played them twice, and although we ended up on the losing side with an OG, we ran them so close. I mean, we should have beaten them on both occasions. As one was a draw and the other one they picked us by the odd goal. They're physical as regards in the size and what have you. They're not really physical and smart in their application, and I don't believe that there's a lot of football in them, but you know, that's my opinion.
You're not a manager at the moment, are you?
Yeah, especially down there anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
I feel Mickleover might be just on the edge of it.
Does no one fancy them to do a Barwell before we go to Arran?
No. Don't use my segue. They don't have to come to Barwell in a minute.
No. Back to Mickleover quickly. So I was with Stu. We watched them last season against Norton.
Oh, lovely. You have a nice time.
Yeah, we had a great
day.
We had a great day.
Good.
They didn't open the bar for us, you know. We had to buy cans of lager outside the ground, and
you're
so
not you're not actually royalty, yeah. You know. You might be the
find them.
You might be the PM, but you're not royalty.
But.
Wasn't attractive, was it?
It wasn't attractive. They say it was effectively what was said earlier, the big, powerful, effective, but I don't think they're going to set the division alight, and they strike me as a team who could effectively do a Belper and struggle again.
Stu, thanks, Stu.
So you say it's basically we've just completely poo-pooed everyone that got promoted from the Southern Division.
Well done, us. No, we've just said that they might well find it a little bit difficult to hold their own throughout the season. I think that's what it is.
Just finishing up on the South one there, Mickleover, I can see being a lot stronger this time round. They're used to this division, they know what is expected of them to be staying this. I can see Mickleover, they're not going to challenge for the title, they're going to be more mid-table, but I can see them staying up.
And Alan, I'm going to come to you now for the wise words of the civil servant of the group. Over to you.
I think got to look at, first of all, Stourbridge. Stourbridge came from the Southern League last season, and I think they found life in the Northern Premier tough. But they've now got that experience, and when you think that Stourbridge were in the playoffs in the Southern League, I think they've got a decent chance of being there or thereabouts. I will always put Blyth Spartans in the picture, definitely Blyth Spartans, and somehow I've got a feeling about Hyde United.
Hey.
I really do.
In the first month.
Everything about Hyde United just seems to fall in place.
Mm. Are you doing that because you're on Hyde United's Periscope at this moment in time? Is that what you said? Disgusting.
By the way, the Hyde United groundsman got highly commended in the conference.
So we should win it next year.
We should.
Yeah. Mm. Well, talking of teams that have come up from the Southern Division, as you've just been alluding to there, and doing the team for me to look out for, I think, this season, and I don't want to go ahead of our dark horses.
Barwell.
But Barwell, last season, they started off in a game which was one of the worst games I'd ever seen. A team of kickers, cloggers, and, well, basically just thugs, it seemed. Right, however, they turned into an absolute top-notch quality footballing team by the end of the season.
They finished eighth.
Season 7 8.
Well, they were there, they were there right to the end, and they were just really getting stronger and stronger.
They could have got in the playoffs for 2 years to Arsenal.
Yeah, they were just missed out, you know, as a number of teams did. They just missed out on goal difference and a whole host of different things last season.
They've all missed off the biggest dark horse of them all in Nantwich, who have spent relatively big this summer.
We're coming to that shortly, don't worry. Anyone we've missed?
Everyone going up, you know, I think the money they've spent this summer, I think they should expect to be up there. So.
Anyone we've missed, we clear up in the second part. We scoop them up.
I'm sure they're dead happy about that.
They will be. Right, so that is the end of part one of this EvoStick NPL show season preview for the 2015-16 season. And thank you for making it this far. Coming up next, we've got interviews with... No, coming up next, we've got interviews with correspondents across the country, including Stourbridge and Hales Owen with the Bridge FM. We've got... who else have we got? We've got Mark Duffy, who covers Ilkeston and all things Ilson and all things East Nottinghamshire and Derbyshire and that neck of the woods. And that's probably about it. We're off to the bar and we'll see you in about 5 or 10 minutes or so.
I'll feed the goat.
Right, we're now joined by sports writer in the East Midlands, Derbyshire, Nottinghamshire area. It's Mark Duffy. Hello, Mark. How are you?
A very good evening to you.
So, last season... It was looking all so promising for Ilkeston right up until the end, and then it slowly faded off. Abruptly faded off, really. What's with Gavin Strachan in charge now? What are the hopes this season at Ilson?
Probably much the same as before, actually. I think, you know, the intention to be promoted, if not this season, then very soon is there. Obviously, they're still full-time. They've got remaining a very young squad. A lot of the key players from last year did leave. A lot went to Nuneaton with Kevin Wilson. Which wasn't entirely a shock, particularly some of them that were expected to play at a higher level anyway. He's got a very good squad together. He's even signed Lee Hughes this week, who's 39, so that goes against all of the youth in the squad that they've had before. You know, he's about twice the age of most of them, I think. The intention's to get promoted. They've got a really good ethos down there. It remains the same as it was before. And Gavin Strachan, I have to say, is... come across very well, and he does appear to be a very talented coach. He's very highly qualified and could well be a breath of fresh air for them.
And this season, what's your views, what's your take overall on the way the league's panning out? Because this, I know FC United's gone now, but there's the likes of Salford City and Darlington and Workington and Colwyn Bay and...
Yeah, it's as every year, it's going to be so hard to call it. There's just so many strong sides in there. You saw how difficult it was last year to get up. And, you know, obviously FC did it eventually, but there was certainly FC and Workington were vying for it, but the playoffs were anyone's. And it will be the same again. And even the sides that have come up, you know, people are talking about Salford and Darlington being potential promotion. Not favourites per se, but well, Salford I think are in fact. But they're looking at being potential promotion hopeful. So it says it all really about the quality that's there. And it's going to be another intriguing season, I think.
Right. And lastly, what's your hopes for this season, Philson? What do you think realistically fans should be expecting?
I've got a record this week. It's in print, and everything is saying that the playoffs wouldn't be. I think the playoffs is probably where they may well be again. I just don't know whether it's such a hard division to get out of. We know that, don't we? Mm-hmm. I mean, you go up as champions or you go through the playoffs. And, you know, Ilkeston found out the hard way last year about the playoffs. And I think it's going to be there again. I think top five is doable. It's going to be how they react, how Strachan gets on with the league, how the youngsters react to being in this league, because there's a lot of new young players there that won't have played at this level before. So it might be a bit of a shock to them. To start well, that's important as well. So, yeah, I would say top five is more than a realistic chance. There's some good sides in there. They're going to have to really hit the ground running to not lose ground early on, I think.
Well, Mark Duffy, sports writer for Derbyshire, Nottinghamshire area. You can follow Mark Duffy, by the way, at Duffers Sport. Will you be tweeting this weekend?
Oh, well, yes, I'll be at Ilkeston v Skelmersdale. I won't be at Grantham on Tuesday. I'm not doing as many away games this year, so just home games.
I don't blame you.
Primarily, but yes, I'll be there.
Nice one, Mark, and thanks for joining us.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
We're now joined by sports presenter and commentator for 102.5 The Bridge in the Black Country. It's Adam Parks. Hello, Adam. How are you?
Hi, I'm very well. How are you?
I'm not so bad. You're going to conduct an interview very shortly with the Stourbridge manager.
Indeed.
So there you go. That's the magic of radio, you see. No one knows that you've actually just done it. But anyway, right, so...
That's a trade secret. Yeah.
Going into this season, last season, you were new to the show. We brought you in because Hales Owen and Stourbridge, new to the league. They settled in by the end, though, didn't they? They kind of found the feet, I think, towards the end of last season.
Yeah, I think you'll hear from Gary Hackett in the moment that I think he feels that perhaps he underestimated the quality of the size in the Northern Premier League. And there was a lot of pressure perhaps on Stourbridge to at least make the playoffs last season. Things didn't go their way, basically through injuries as much as anything else. The side has had to be rebuilt to a large extent. And I think it's going to be work in progress this season. I think the pressure may be off, but you know, Gary Hackett will never settle for second best, so we'll wait and see what happens.
This season, though, just to say, around the table at the season preview, at least five people around the table were picking Stourbridge to make the playoffs this season. Do you share that optimism?
No, I don't. I think it's a very strong league this time, more stronger than last time round. Yeah, with FC Wem having been promoted, that's not the end of the story because there's some very good sides that have come into the division. You know, the likes of Darlington and Salford, and even unknown quantities like Colwyn Bay, they're mm-hmm. going to be interesting sides, and they're going to see Stourbridge as a little bit of a cup final for themselves because of particularly the cup runs that the Glass Boys have had in the past.
And just a last word, because you're very, very busy. You're at an open evening, aren't you, at Stourbridge tonight, where you get
a
press evening thing. Are you excited about the season?
Oh, indeed, I am. Yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating. I think there's some very good sides in the league again. There's a lot of good sides which I didn't see last season, which I'm looking to see, like Workington and Skelmersdale, who I didn't get to see last season. So I'm looking forward to a lot of interesting away days, if nothing else, and hopefully to see our clubs progress. I think Hales Owen Town are going to find it a bit more difficult because they have had to rebuild even more. And I think... they overachieved last season, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens this time round. But it'll be exciting, and it's always like Christmas Day, the start of a new season, so we look forward to it.
Well, Adam Parks, just before you go, you've got an interview to do with Stourbridge's manager, which I'd like you to introduce. But that was Adam Parks, sports presenter and commentator for 102.5 The Bridge in the Black Country. Adam, would you like to introduce this interview?
Yeah, ahead of our coverage of the first match of the season against Whitby on Saturday afternoon, I spoke a few moments ago to Gary Hackett about the forthcoming season.
And you can listen to that match on The Bridge this weekend.
Gary, last season I think was probably the most difficult season since you've taken over the stewardship of this club.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether difficult's the word or disappointing, but you know, especially from Christmas onwards, we were very poor, and you know, it's something that needs to be addressed.
How much were the club hit by injuries last season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've never had a season like it for injured players and also, you know, injured key players. I think when we lost Sean Geddes to Worcester, within 1 week or 2 weeks, we lost the other two midfielders, and it hit us hard, and to a degree, we never recovered. And you know, that's something we've tried to address in the summer. And as I said, we're looking forward to the season.
Last season was the first season in the Northern Prem. This is the second time round. It was a new experience, perhaps a harder league than the Southern Prem, arguably. Do you think it's going to be even harder with the new clubs that have come into the Northern Prem this time?
I will say that I probably did underestimate the Northern League. I think maybe on the back of all our FA Cup runs, and a lot of teams that did well in the FA Cup were from the southern-based teams. Ironically, last year, they were from the northern-based teams. So it was a tough league. Yes, we've lost FC United, who were a big hitter, but you know, you could say two clubs coming in Darlington and Salford, are big hitters. So it's tough whether it's north or south. And I think, you know, I think the Southern League is a lot tougher this year than what it was as well.
Gary, we wish you all the best for the season. Thanks for talking to us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Welcome back to part number two of the Evostick NPL show. Season preview special 2015-16.
Can I just
Boom!
Say that?
Yes, Birka.
Really, really agree with what Adam just said. I think you made some really good points there. The other two were talking rubbish.
Well, take that, Mark Duffer. Yes.
Quite long with the interviews as well, but good interviews. Yeah. And they talk a lot of sense.
Apart
from the other two.
I thought the interviewing technique.
It's all to do with the interview technique. Okay, so. Round the table. Do we go around the table again?
No,
we've not moved.
If you want to know who's here, go back to the start of the show and just listen to the original introduction. We're now going to touch upon the dreaded relegation and, I would suggest, the even more dreaded mid-table obscurity. And
you say dreaded mid-table obscurity there, but there's one team in there who would love dreaded mid-table obscurity, and that's Ramsbottom United. After the tumultuous season they had last year, where they were up there, then they plummeted down before finding a little bit of parity towards the end, Rami would love to be anywhere between 8th and 16th, I think. And they've done well, actually, during the summer. They've got Grant Shenton, who is, without any shadow of doubt, the best goalkeeper in the Evo Stick. Probably at step three altogether.
I'm glad you started off with Ramsbottom. Okay. Would anyone else like to throw out a name? One name that was mentioned in the first part was Nantwich Town. Was it you?
It was me.
It was you, wasn't it?
The aim this year is obviously a lot more than mid-table obscurity. They need to be going for the...
Well, I remember doing an interview with their press officer at the start of last year, and he said, playoffs... for last season. Did he mean this season?
No, I think the person who interviewed maybe got it wrong. Nantwich had a disappointing season last year. You know, Danny Johnson will tell you, you know, firsthand that, you know, he didn't achieve what he wanted to achieve at Nantwich. They spent a fair bit of money, didn't get to where they want to be, but this year this looks like they've pushed on again, looks like they've spent more money. They've named Darren Thornton, the captain, who obviously won promotion with us at Curzon last year, who I think is a great signing for them, and, you know, I really hope he does well for them. With the money they've spent and the experience they've brought in, I'd expect them to be pushing for playoffs. You know, I can't see them being in any kind of danger like they were last year.
What on earth are we going to do with Marine this year? What's Marine going to do? What's going to happen with Marine?
Well, they've had an absolutely horrendous pre-season. They've been beaten by, well, everybody, it seems. They've just not performed. And after last season, that performance that made to stay up was absolutely outstanding. We were at a do at the end of the season with the Northern Premier League, and you met all the people involved in Marine. A tremendous football club. They've got football at the heart of the community, fan owned, you know, and they are absolutely tremendous. And as a football club, to survive the way they did was absolutely superb. Everyone did give them a chance, and they did. This season, I think, because the pre-season has been so poor,
they're nailed on, aren't they? At this moment in time, dear listener, if you're a fan of these clubs, I am not suggesting that I think you're going to get relegated. It's just the expectation of those around the table, I feel. So.
Oh, that's a trap. You've got cards that you keep putting up and putting names in front of us. Say that. That's what you're doing.
I'm going to start with a team, and I think Stampy's... We've got correspondence coming up shortly.
Oh, Stampy.
But I think Stampy said anything but last season will do. Okay? Stamford... They're in the new stadium now for a full season. That's going to be all right. I'm going to go to Alan, because Alan, actually, made a hell of a point last year, which everyone missed, which was, don't be too certain about teams moving into new stadiums. And luckily, FC dragged their heels and moving into theirs. But Stamford got in. And it proved right, didn't it, Alan?
Yeah, it did. Right, OK. I'm not going to talk about teams that are going down.
No,
it would be right for me to talk about teams going down. I think the two teams mentioned earlier who've come up from the south, I think they need to get their act in order. I think Stamford, they don't want a season like last season. Marine, Frickley hasn't been mentioned so far. They all need to start. It's serious stuff, and I'm sure that they are quite well aware of what they need to do this.
You've mentioned Frickley. They've lost Gavin Allott. I think that is a big bonus for them. That's the best thing that can happen for them. He was a quite well paid player at the club.
Yeah.
And that club revolved around him, and basically they've been able to bring other players in. Frickley have got plans. They're redeveloping the ground, the area and all the rest of it, and you know, that ground and that area is being brought back. and the people at Frickley, I've got a lot of time for them because it's the cracking people, the footballing people. Therefore, I think they'll do okay this season. I think they'll get the house in order and they'll do well this season.
I think we have to be fair to Frickley. For a while last season, they were fine. And not to preempt what you're going to say, but, Birke, yes. There's always a team who we don't predict who always have a bit of a mare.
Drop like Stone Witten last season.
That is the end of part two of this Evostick MPL show season preview 2015-2016 special. Coming up next, we've got interviews with Andrew Simpson with regards to Division 1 North, and with regards to Division 1 South, we've got Robin Gray returning. But from everyone
Robin
here...
Gray. Yeah. Well done. He's question time about 20 years ago, didn't he?
But from everyone here at the Magnets, we'll be back very shortly.
So to discuss Division 1 South in a kind of broad-brushed approach, because no one really knows what's going on, let's be honest, we're joined now by the man who does actually know what's going on. It's Robin Gray from Not FM's Staffordshire Football Show. Hello, Robin, how are you?
Hi, Ben, good to hear from you again.
It's good to hear from you. I missed your voice, I'll be honest. Right, OK. So, Division 1 South, no Micklover this season, no Sutton Coldfield. Surely Leake Town are going to get promoted, aren't they?
Well, you'd hope so, wouldn't you? It's going to be a season again, I think, this year, where it's going to be all about how a team can perhaps show the sturdiness and the same consistency as Micklover did last season and just continue and continue to get results, even perhaps when they're not at their full strength. And it's also the team you find that keeps freshening it up throughout the season. They never, you know, stay to their laurels, and they do keep bringing in players. And to a certain extent, it'll be a team that can mirror what Micklover did last season. As for Leake Town, well, I mean, we'll come on to this. Will it be their season? No, I don't think.
No. Okay. Why did you say that, Robin?
Well, obviously at Kidsgrove Athletic, which I of course have to mention, our manager, Pete Ward, has taken a lot of the players from Leake Town to Kidsgrove Athletic. I think the figure is at 6 at the moment. I may be wrong, it may be 5, but it's quite big. A couple of players have gone to Nantwich as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Leake has had to assemble a new squad this season, which takes quite a lot of doing in non-league football, because you can go and sign squad players all you like, but to try and replicate what Leake have done in the last two seasons are going to be very absolutely difficult for Leake as well. And there were a lot of people from a few players from Etoxa Town, the likes of Doug Price and Redshaw. He's also gone to Rainworth and Market Drayson and picked up a few players from there who are good players, and it's all about now how he moulds them into a dressing room. A lot of people have said that Leake have got worse over the summer, looking on Twitter and things like that.
Yes.
I think that Leake Caswell is a very good manager. I think tactically he's got it spot on in recent seasons, and I think that if he moulds a side together, they could be in the playoffs again. Do I see them going up automatically? No, I don't, to be quite honest with you, Ben. But I think that Leake Caswell is a very good manager. I just think that it's an unknown territory. Nobody knows how good his side are going to be. They've retained the backbone of Grice, Danny Lick, Shelley, and obviously they lost the goalkeeper that replaced him with a very good one, obviously from that Micklover side. So we'll just have to see with Leake Town. It will be interesting, though.
And the question that popped into my mind, if you're getting half of Leake Town's team from last season, should we be watching Kidsgrove Athletic this year?
I think you should, Ben. It's a transitional period for Kidsgrove Athletic because it's been a difficult few years. Obviously, like the beginning of last season was quite a shamble, to say the least, with the three managers, obviously, coming into the club and it not quite working for one reason or another. And at the end of the day, Pete Ward came in. He realised that he had a relegation battle on his hands. He kept them up. It wasn't by default in the end, which I think he was just as pleased as is perhaps a few people watching on, thinking Kidsgrove were going to survive by that again. But they didn't. They earned it in the end with some fantastic wins towards the end of the season. And there are some good players at the club, you know, Ant Malbim. And then, of course, Jordan Johnson, the likes of him, a sturdy defence of Espley, Dicker, Donnelly at the back, and Ben Chapman, the goalkeeper. And it's just all about building on that for Kidsgrove. They've got, you know, strength in every position, a little bit of quality as well. Joe Woolley, who's only 19, showing fantastic signs in pre-season.
And we should mention, of course, the team who were quite fancied throughout most of last season as well, Newcastle Town. Mm. Are they going to replicate what they did last year and go one better? Or?
Well, it's very interesting you should say that, because they've obviously lost just Josh Gordon, lost Elliot Osborne towards the end of last season. And when Tim Sanders and Tom France joined Hensford, it was starting to look a little bit doom and gloom at Newcastle. These fantastic prospects that come through and do so well, being sold on, obviously, due to the fantastic success that they had last season. But last week, obviously, Tim Sanders and France have returned to Newcastle Town following a short spell at Hensford. Sanders in midfield was superb last season. They've looked decent defensively throughout pre-season, and hopefully the pressure will be off for them this season as well, because if they can replicate that and progress and perhaps bring in the odd players, which Ivan Lodge said he does, you know, you do have to be patient and look for the right player. They've got a great prospect, Ollie Ritchie, at left-back, who looks brilliant. If they can go with that same fluidity as last season, they could go one step further. With France and Sanders coming back, it's made me a lot more hopeful for them. Before that, I would have perhaps said outside the playoffs, but now I think they're right to shout.
And we should, of course, mention, while we're talking about Division 1 South, Stafford Rangers, a sleeping giant, if ever there was one. Last season, they kind of got themselves together towards the end of the season, didn't they? But it was a bit too late. What do you reckon for this year?
Yeah, well, Neil Kitching is a fantastic manager, and he did very well to get out some of the dead wood from last season and reassemble a side fit to play in and play for Stafford Rangers, which is the first thing he wanted. Local lads, people who knew how Stafford Rangers worked, people who knew about the history of the club, to actually put on a show for the supporters, and crowds went up. We saw them in the 500s, the 600s, and it was a wonderful season on that point of view for the football club. But there's still a lot of work to do, and Ben Hazley and Josh Craddock had come in this season for starters. You've obviously got Whitehouse in goal, they've retained Johnson and Dakers. There are a lot more signings on top of that. Nathan Rooney, I think, coming in as well. So there are lots of good signs for Stafford Rangers. I think Neil Kitching is a good manager, I've said. Ben Hazley, when he was at Hales-Owen the season before last, was unplayable and just would not stop scoring. And if they can get him to that, then they will turn some of those ball draws, as it were, sometimes at Martsham Road, into wins, because that was the problem. I think it was 8 home draws they ended up with at the end of the season. You turn one of them into a win, you're in the playoffs. You turn 3 or 4 of them into a win, and you're looking at perhaps promotion. I really do back them to get promotion, I'll be honest with you, Ben.
Well, I'll come to that in a second, because I hope you're ready to be put on the spot. But anyway, there's also some new sides in there as well into the mix, like Rugby Town. My favourite, Sean Lane Aquaforce. They sound amazing. Daventry Town and Basford.
Again, I hear that, you know, Sean Lane Aquaforce, it sounds great. And I hear they've got great things
I'm sure they're going to be really refreshing for the league. Yeah?
Well, I think that's the pun also works from what I hear as well. Because these teams, like Tiverdale last season, like Norton United when they came up, if they play without pressure, they can be really, really... Sporting, gosh, that's awful for me to forget them. I mean, Sporting were absolutely remarkable as well. So it just shows that the league is so open when these sort of sides come up to it.
It's a trip into the unknown this season, and I wouldn't want to be a pundit or a journalist covering this league at all.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that one, Ben. I agree. Last season, you couldn't have predicted quite what happened.
Well, Robin Gray from the Staffordshire Football Show on Not FM, thanks for joining us on this Evo Stick MPL show season preview.
Brilliant. Always good to speak to you. Thanks, Ben.
No worries. Right, for a perspective now on Division 1 North, we're now joined by senior sports writer for the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. It is the return of the legend that is Andrew Simpson. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
What a great intro. Yeah, I'm really good, thank
I know,
you.
I feel bad for Robin Gray now, because I didn't do that big intro for him. Oh, I'm going to have to edit one in. Anyway, so, Division 1 North, sadly for you, you've got 2 horses in this race now.
I'm like the kid looking wistfully through the window of the sweet shop in Division 1 North this season.
It's you're saying that, Simo, but actually, if you look at Division 1 North, as we did last night at the Magnet, it's quite
What does that noise mean, that, though?
I think this league could be really the most exciting out of all three this season.
Yeah, I think so. And I've been turning my attention to it in the past couple of weeks and doing my homework and kind of trying to get a feel for what to expect. And it might sound like a little bit of a cliche, but I do think it is quite difficult to predict. It is quite open. I think with Salford and Darlington being the two that went up to the Premier Division, I think it makes for having less obvious candidates to kind of run away or certainly to kind of set the pace in Division 1 North. And I think there'd probably be 6, 7, maybe 8 teams kind of going, we've got a chance this season. Now, and that hopefully will make for an exciting promotion race.
What that leads to, though, is some teams taking the jump. When the big spenders are out of the way, some of them go for it. And the downside to that is that several clubs have had the same idea as you have. So we're speculating now about those teams who could make that leap. One of them is Witton Albion, one of them, and is Northwich Victoria the other?
I think two very contrasting kind of situations those two clubs find themselves in. I mean, Witton, they've had a change of manager to start off with. Obviously, Scott Dundas is now in charge following the resignation of Tony Sullivan after they were relegated at the end of last season. And he's obviously had to spend the summer assembling pretty much a team or a squad from scratch. He's kept a couple of players from last season, notable players to be fair. Danny Andrews, a player of the year and a player who opposition teams will know and is probably capable of playing higher, but he stayed loyal to the club after signing a contract. And they've also persuaded Alex Titchener to stay, and he scored most of the goals for Albion last time they were in this division 3-4 years ago, and they got to the playoffs. So having those two on board is really important. Then the gaffer's had to add to that with signings of his own. Now, he has brought a core of players with him from his old club, Norton United, so that should make it slightly easier to kind of gel and kind of bring everybody together. But I think there's just a huge question mark against Witton as to kind of their relative strength to the other teams in the division, because it is a new team. It is going to take time for them to get to know each other. The problem with that is, of course, is Witten really ideally need to get off to a good start to kind of put themselves in the race. So they are under pressure, I think, to start well. I think the supporters will expect Witten to challenge for promotion. And to be fair to Scott Dundas, I was at a fans forum with him last week, and he's saying the right things. He's very positive. He believes that the group is strong enough to challenge for a playoff place. So there's lots of optimism around that. But I think really we have no idea as to Witten's relative strengths.
Last season we had Northwich Victoria, who were there or thereabouts, to be honest, all the way through the league. From Flixton. This season they're back in Cheshire.
Yeah.
They've got to be one of the favourites, haven't they?
I think so. I think that The key for Vicks is that they've kept hold of their biggest asset, which actually I think is the manager. What Jim Gannon has achieved since he came to the club is he's assembled a team that probably is greater than the sum of its parts, and that's something that delivered success for them last season. Only Darlington conceded fewer goals from Northwich, so obviously their success was built on a very solid defensive foundation. Now, the only problem with that is players that have left since the end of last season, the goalkeeper Tim Deasy, player of the year Callum Henry is a central defender. That kind of solid foundation, they've lost two really important parts of it. And the question mark against Northwich is, have they replaced those two? And further up the field, they've also lost their leading scorer, Gary Burnett, to Curzon Ashton. So these three really important players that have left Northwich. And the question mark for them is, the people that Gannon has brought in, are they going to be able to kind of fill quite significant gaps that have been created in the team? If he's able to do that, then absolutely Northwich will be one of the contenders at the top of the table.
Now, if I was to read out certain clubs' names to an outsider, they would expect these clubs to be in the Northern Premier League Premier Division. And we're talking the likes of Warrington Town, Spennymoor Town, Scarborough Athletic, Lancaster City, Drolsden, Bamber Bridge knocking on the door last season. Let's not rule out Mosley in all of this. I feel like I should mention Trafford as well for the hell of it. This league this season is wide open. And as you said, no one can really afford to start sluggishly.
No, and that's why, you know, I think Bamber Bridge is starting the season against Warrington, aren't they, on Saturday? Yeah. So that's, you know, that's a great game to kick things off. I think Bamber Bridge, I mean, if you look at the odds that some of the bookmakers have given, they have installed Bamber Bridge's favours. That makes a lot of sense. They finished third last season. They got to the playoff final the last 2 years. And they've made some good signings. They've added experience to their squad with the likes of Jamie Milligan, Brett Ormerod. So they've added real know-how. The kind of flip side to that is that these are older players, well into the 30s. So it's looking quite an ageing side. But most of last season's team has stayed, and the gaffer has added to that. So I think it's sensible to look to Bamber Bridge as being the most likely contenders for the title. Lots of people are saying Warrington, and that's because they've spent a lot of money on the team. And also, in our sister paper today, the chairman at Warrington Town, Toby McCormack, has been very bullish in an interview he's given to one of my colleagues and kind of said anything other than promotion, be it via finishing first or through the playoffs, will be seen as a backward step for Warrington. So they're kind of nailing very much their colours to the mast and saying they're going for it. The only thing about Warrington is they finished 30 points behind Salford last season. That's an enormous gap.
Unlike Division 1 South, which have about, I was looking through the list before, they've got about 9 new teams in that division, so it's very difficult to assess who's who. In this division, though, it's pretty solid, except for the inclusion of Glossop North End from the North West Counties. Now, Glossop North End had a FA Vars run last season, which was very good. I don't know about Glossop North End. What do you think?
I think they're going to do really well. I think their odds are 16-1, and I think that's quite tempting, to be honest. The biggest thing for Chris Wilcock, who's a manager I've worked with before when he was at Winsford United, somebody that I know quite well, is that he's managed to keep together the team that won the title last year. That's always one of the biggest challenges when you get promoted, the vultures circle, and they start to try and pick off your best players. He's largely kept the group together.
And good news, Division 1 North fans, Glossop North End, in my humble opinion, have the best pies in the world. No,
that's
joke.
Always a great addition to the league as well, isn't it?
It is. And obviously, apologies for those teams we've not mentioned, or apologies to those teams we've spoken negatively of. but, you know, we're here to give a view.
Yeah, I think the two shout-outs I'd like to give to teams that I expect to do really well are, you mentioned Trafford. Now, they have obviously come down and there's been a rebuild there, but I think the appointment of Tom Baker is really exciting. A player I used to love watching when he was at Halifax, fantastic player. So there's a question mark in terms of how he's going to adjust to management, but the signings that they've made they've made some fantastic signings. Ben Deegan being the most eye-catching one. They've got a guarantee of goals already. I think they could do really well this season, and they have got a chance of bouncing back at the first attempt. And the other one that I think has been mentioned but kind of on the periphery is definitely Scarborough. I think they've made some really good signings as well. They've got 2 seasons now in the Northern Premier League. Obviously, they've had 1 in the South, 1 in the North, but they finished 7th and 6th. And I was reading a couple of interviews with Paul Foote, one of their co-managers this week, and he has been saying how much he's learned in those 2 years. And so the signings that they've made have been very much with that in mind. He's kept hold of Gary Bradshaw, who's obviously that guarantee of goals that you need to be successful. I think they're going to do really well, and I think they will challenge for the title this season.
Well, Andrew Simpson, senior sports writer for the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, thank you for joining us on this season preview. Would you like to give a shout out? Where are you going to be this weekend, and where can people?
So this weekend I will be at Witten's opener against Ossett Albion at Winchin Park. And a little stat that I plucked for Omen fans: the last time Witten Albion played in Division 1 North, they played Ossett Albion on the opening day. They won, and they ended up getting promoted. So
well,
there you go.
Well, thank you. Good start as always.
All will be well.
Andy, thanks for joining us, mate.
No worries, mate. I'll see you again soon.
Take care.
Welcome back to the Magnets here in Stockport for this final part of the EvoStick MPL show, season preview 2015-16 special extravaganza. Correspondence from the listener, please, James. And no mention of footballs, for God's sake.
Don't worry, we have already told Joycey that he can't sort of footballs anymore anyway.
I'm all for the football discussion, Joycey, but, you know...
I really like the ball.
You like the balls? Everyone likes the balls? Everyone likes the balls?
22-21 massive, brilliant game with them footballs, so let's leave it at that.
Ben, believe you me, when you head it, it's a beautiful cushioned header. It's really nice. It's the best footballs of the league.
So it's because it's got no air in it.
Who cares about anyway? Magnum Multiplex or Adidas balls? These are the balls to use.
James, a highlighted version of this month's correspondence from the listener.
Yes, so I asked... basically, what your team's thinking for the season. So, starting with Lloyd Berry from Warrington, you can't predict a clear winner in the Division 1 North. That's what makes the NPL so fun. Regarding Warrington, they have to go up this year. Christopher Hayden, Prescott Cables, they're looking for the first time in ages for a mid-table finish. Ian Patton, Rush Olympic fan, reckons they're going to actually struggle this year because Alan Williams has moved to Nuneaton Town, so he thinks that's a big loss for them massively. Rob Lloyd, Hales Owen, we've had a consistent squad for the last two to three years, but they've had a huge overhaul of players. New assistant and has come in to assist John Hill, a nice combination. Hopefully they can have a big improvement from last year. Ian Loonis from Gresley, first full season for Wayne. He's bringing through a lot of youth and hopefully some local lads will finally make a step up. Moving on to quickly Twitter. Obviously, we've already mentioned Stampy. Hopefully, a lot of less stress for us Stamford fans, supporters and the tail end of last season. Just want to stay outside the bottom four. And finally, James Parkinson, an Ilkeston fan. I expect nothing less from promotion.
Any other business time?
Something that I'd like to bring to everybody's attention. The Northern Premier League Football Academy, going great, absolutely brilliant. 12 clubs. All I would say is that if there's any 16, 17 year olds that want to enrol in a full-time course which involves full-time training, full-time playing in football, mplfa.co.uk,
and go to the main website as well, and there's the academy section there as well. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Because I remember it starting last season or the season.
It's unique,
and it only started off as a couple of teams, and it's just snowballed, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's unique in the fact that it's the league that's actually working with the education partners. It's not like the Conference Youth Alliance, all different teams and all have their own education. This is all together. All the teams are. With the educational
part. And this is one of the things that about makes this division, or this group of divisions, unique amongst football. We talk about other leagues around the country, and they've all got the merits, but the Northern Premier Division, the way it's run, the people that are involved in
the podcast.
And the podcast, of course, Ben, without a shadow of a doubt.
The admins.
Some of the admins. it really does show that there's a lot more to it than just those teams that are involved. It's also about educating, it's all about moving players forward, it's also bringing people into it. Semi-professional football in the Northern Premier Division is at its best, and I think you've got a testament to all those people who got involved and working on it. It really, really is absolutely superb, because there's not many leagues doing what to the quality of what the Northern Premier League are doing.
If I can just say, just to substantiate on that, even from the coaching level, from people involved in the clubs, the coaches, we do a bursary scheme to enable the coaches to get UEFA B qualification. No other league does that. We give 50% bursary.
And it's worth noting as well that this is a self-funded league. Yep. This is not funded through grassroots football, as people... We hear this word about grassroots football. Well, grassroots football starts at a certain level. The Northern Premier Division is self-funded, and it is testament to exactly what goes on in this division. It's really very good.
Carl actually got his qualification.
Carl Marshall did, exactly, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. Everyone looking forward to the season, just final thoughts?
Yes.
Nobody. So, good news, everyone. It is going to be another excellent season.
We haven't started yet, we'll tell you next week.
I just want to say, the First Division North is going to be the best out of the three.
Oh, yeah, it's so competitive, isn't it?
All the way through.
I think it's all next month, guys, because we've not been queued up for this.
Has anyone got a happy thought we can end the show on?
Yes. What a great season we're looking forward to, be in the Premier, the North or the South. It's going to be tremendous. We're looking forward to it. Get involved for the South more so this season. We really want you to get involved. The North Division and indeed the Premier Division. But we'd like to concentrate on the two divisions below a lot more this season if you get involved. So get involved in the show. You know where to go. TGOT's got the longest Facebook page in the world, so I don't know why you don't know about that. And also get involved. It's a really good show. Come down, have a beer, come and speak to us. Enjoy the season. It's going to be tremendous. We'll be there in and around enjoying football.
So that is the end of this EvoStick NPL show season preview 2015-16 special extravaganza here recorded live at the Magnet on Wednesday evening. I'd like to thank my guests tonight. Aaron Flanagan from The Mirror.
Cheers, Ben.
Thank you. Listen to his tone and voice. That's how we all feel. Well, I feel. Swampert from Radio 5 Live and FCUM Radio. Thank you. Roy Sewell from No Fixed Abode, but with years of experience. Roy Sewell. Alan Alcock from the league.
Hey, to everyone, enjoy the Everstick League.
Ian Burke from Radio 26-0 and BBC Radio Manchester.
Been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure.
Alex McKenna from the MPL Facebook group sponsored by EvoStick. James Hayes from the same house. How could people get involved with the MPL Facebook group?
Facebook.com/groups/MPL or on Twitter at the MPL group, and I welcome my redundancy payment.
Have you replaced him as a moderator?
Yeah, I have.
Laura Flint from Salford, thank you very much.
I've lost the will to live.
Me too. And Stuart James from the Non-League Review, well done.
Peace out.
The EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.